Yeah, sure. Wish I could slow things down a bit. But, yeah, what do you think, Leilani? Going too fast. Going too fast, yeah?
It just flew right by us.
I know. I called you and you didn't even remember it was time for our show. Or you called me.
I called you, honey.
Saying, I can't believe it. It's time again.
June is usually, yes. June, July is usually very long months. And when it's over, then we're just like, wow, already?
And plus, we've been so busy. It's been a very busy June and July for us. And so August is a welcome month for all of us. So anyway, in any case, I'm so happy to be here in beautiful Hanalei. And to all of you, wherever you are, I hope you are enjoying the place where you are as much as we are. And mahalo. Mahalo for joining us today. Ho'okipa mai. Welcome. Welcome to our show. Mahalo to Leilani Kaleohi for assisting us with the engineering, as always. And welcome to a couple of guests here in the studio. First, we have Brother Tim Kalai and Kumukame Aloha Smith, who are both here to share important announcements for our community. But before we go on, I'm going to have a hard time doing this, but I have to start on a sad note. And it is with a sad heart today that I announce the passing of a dear sister and friend to so many people on Kauai who knew her and loved her. She was a voice for the people on many occasions throughout the years, advocating for the protection of our Na'iwi Kupuna, the bones of our ancestors, as well as any other issue that had to do with our land, water, and culture. We wish to send our aloha and condolences to the ohana of Wahine Koa, Cheryl Lovell Obataki, born and raised in the Ahupua of Niumalu Kalapaki. I dedicate this program to her and wish her a smooth journey to her new life. Aloha nui, my Tita Cheryl. You will be sorely missed by so many. So we're going to play this song for you, Cheryl. This song is for you and is of you. Cheryl had a lot to do with waking up a lot of people to what was happening in our Hawaiian community. And with this song, I say to all of you, I want to say, please continue to be awake and pay attention. Okay, cue song.
I'd like to, but unfortunately that computer is not operating right now.
Oh, what
is
going on?
That's why I'm trying to work on that.
Okay, so now what do I do? No music at all?
Not until I can fix that problem.
Okay. Oh, wow. This has disrupted my whole program. Okay, well, we have been paying attention. We have been e ala e to all of you that are listening and know what that means. It means to wake up, rise up, be a part of all that is going on here. Educate yourselves so you know what is going on. Because times are very grave right now for our Kanaka Maoli. Very, very grave situations with us here. We stand to lose so much if we do not e ala e and stand up and speak. So, one of the things that we have been paying a lot of attention to this past month was the hearings that were being held here in our islands with the Department of Interior and the Department of Justice of the United States of America, which is not our country. And the hearings have been going on all through June, and now they're making their rounds on the Great Turtle Island, also known as the Continental United States, which is not our mainland, but the mainland of the Native Tribes of America. In a little while, we will be expecting a call from our new friend and ally, Mr. John Kane, who is a Mohawk of the Mohawk tribe, and he will be calling in from New York to give us an update of the hearings on this continent. So meanwhile, first I want to welcome Kamea Aloha Smith.
Aloha. My kakoa po.
Ai, mahalo. And we love you.
I'm
sure you are aloha, my dear. And yeah, the microphone. Please share your important manao.
Yeah.
Where you live, where you come from first.
Okay. I'm, of course, from Anahola. And then, well, yeah, Alana. Nice place. Sometimes. You know, however, right now I'm living in the Lihue area.
Mm-hmm.
So today, I came in my capacity as a kumu.
Hi.
For a marine education program.
Mm-hmm.
The name of our marine education program is Kai'ulu Anahola, Traditional Knowledge Marine Education Programs. We are fiscally sponsored by the Pacific American Foundation, which is located in Kaneohe on Oahu. And we've been operating in Anahola and Wailua now for about three years, going on 4 years, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Today, mahalo to you for giving me the opportunity to come on in and share a little bit,
about what
we do. Okay. Yeah, ho'omau? Hikino?
Yeah, ho'omau.
Hikino. Okay, kalamai.
Mm-hmm.
I came for several reasons. First, I wanted to say that, you know, you always got to put in a plug for Hawaiian language. and so the mission of our organization or our program is really to increase opportunities for...
Is that Kai'ulu?
That's Kai'ulu Anahola.
Okay.
We're an outreach program, and really one of our main missions is to increase the number of Wahipana here on the island of Kauai, in which Hawaiian language, traditional ways of knowing, and certainly traditional knowledge are relevant and meaningful. That means we have to increase the number of places in which these types of knowledge are being perpetuated, right? So that's the main goal of
our wonderful endeavor.
Yeah,
that's the main goal of
what we do, and we do that, of course, by focusing on our efforts on doing research and outreach education along the coastal marines. We are finished with one of our projects for the past year. That one is called Project Kupa'a. And Project Kupa'a, the crest of the Project Kupa'a is very simple. We wanted to reconstruct the natural and the cultural history of Anahola Bay based on the traditional use of language and cultural practices. For the last year, actually for a few years now, but especially for the last year, with the support, kind support of the Castleton Atherton Foundation this past year, we did an inventory of our culture and our natural resources in Anahola Bay, and we're about ready to ho'ike out what we learned, what we researched. And so what we have here is an invitation for people to come. It's going to be on August the 30th from 9 to 10 p.m. on the Smith side of Anahola Beach, essentially Anahola Beach Park.
Aye.
And we're going to be launching one thing that we're launching is a website, and that website is essentially for Hawaiian studies teachers or teachers who want to incorporate a little bit of Nohona Hawaii into their curriculum. And in there, it gives some very, very practical ideas about how to incorporate project-based type of Hawaiian education, educational ideas.
No affiliation with any of our charter schools, because that kind of seems to be their kind of curriculum as well.
I work with a lot with the Hawaiian language speaking community,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that would involve a lot of people who are involved with Kawaikini, are involved maybe Kamehameha schools, maybe involved with Kekulaniʻau and a few other places. There are pockets of places here in Kauai where they're Hawaiian language speakers. So
mm-hmm.
wherever those Hawaiian language speakers are, we try our very best to honor what they do. So we do have a traditional knowledge resource workbook, if you will, and it's going to go online. Actually, it's online right now. I should show it to you. We do have a software application to teach kids how to learn, or to teach them, or to so they can learn how to talk about different traditional knowledge weather patterns. So we did that. We also have identification cards that ID the different type of resources that we have in Anahola Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I brought a copy of that right here. And then That's this right here. Mm-hmm. So this talks about the winds, the rains, the place names and that kind of stuff. So
the resources.
Yes, resource. And then I also brought our traditional knowledge, one of our banners for our traditional knowledge walking tour. And I keep saying, I know that word is overused in what in our vocabulary.
I love you.
But Michael Ikeya, cause Kakao ya. Ho'ailona ke apelaha makola Hawaii meka makolelo haole. Right. So we wrote this in Hawaiian and in English, and it teaches a different story about Anahola. In this case, we're talking about marine life in Anahola Bay. Yeah, fish. And we have a beautiful canopy, a drawing right here. And every time that we're out there, we're doing research. We're going to put these banners up so that we can engage the larger community and what's going on there. And another thing that we did this past year, when we talk about modernizing or updating our traditional knowledge, ike of our kupuna. And so we just try to find different ways to engage a larger community in how we see the ike of our kupuna. So we develop software applications and then posters. And we're, you know, trying to get more funding so that we can actually make this available to educators and other people in the community. Oh, and a lot of this information comes from here and comes down from Mo'olelo, from our own kupuna.
Uh-huh.
My great-grandfather, of course, John Hanohano Pa, which is a relative also to Leilani on the other side. And a lot of us, interesting enough, a lot of the ike that comes from two sides of the Hawaiian Islands, so Hawaii Island down in Keokaha, and then also from Kalalau Valley here on the Napali coast.
But so this poster here in particular is the moon calendar.
Well, this one right here, this one is the seasons.
The seasons
and so
of
these
the
seasons
moon
are
calendar.
The seasons of the moon calendar. Mm-hmm. So this is calibrated to our local resources here on the island of Kauai.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's
more from
the Kauai perspective. And all
well, we have the names and stuff, but this is a combination of ike that comes from Maui, Molokai, Hawaii Island, and then here. And then one more I wanted to show you folks. So this is the moon calendar itself, yeah.
I love it.
This is beautiful, huh?
Yes, I guess it is.
And the research, another project that we're doing, Project Holovai, that one is in Wailua. And we're using the moon calendar and the seasons to really understand our fish and how they're behaving in those waters.
Mm-hmm. Fishing and farming.
Absolutely. Fishing, farming, gathering practices, any kind, hula, so on and so forth. So we're just trying to find different applications for this ike in today's world.
I want one of these.
Auntie, it does cost a little bit of money, but but it's not a lot of money. And so on the 30th...
To support this program,
that would be great.
But by the way, what is the moon today? I saw it right now. It's up in the sky.
Oh, shokomanakos.
Ole something.
No, it's probably ole. Well, it's probably ole kukahi, ole kulua. I'm pretty sure that we're in the first Anahulu. I lose track of days and time. It's ridiculous. I can't even remember, the day. Seriously, I mean,
Monday.
It goes like that. Nowadays, it's kind of like that, because, you know, the type of work that we do, all of us do, on the mainstream side, you know, they have a lot of money to do science programs on the traditional knowledge science side or, traditional knowledge practice side, we don't have as much.
Yeah.
So, Kalamai, I know you guys are busy.
No, but please... remind us about that website.
Okay.
Can somebody write it down?
www.kayaulu.anahola.org is our website. And on the 30th of this month, we're going to be gathering at Anahola Bay on the Smith's Beach side at 9 o'clock to do a ho'ike. Mm. And then ho'ike is not going to only feature what we're launching, but also some new music, new ole and stuff like that. You know, these are all mnemonic devices that we try to haku on so we can teach kids about the natural resources and culture resources there. So we're not like, haku mele gurus or anything like that. But, we just try our best to honor.
I love it.
I love that picture that came up on your Facebook page. And, yes, you can find them on the Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're there, too.
Where the keiki no ho'i was sitting down and looking out into the ocean and learning how to watch, how to be aware and what is out there. Yeah. So
astute observation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's what this project
is. No, mahalo. Mahalo.
Mahalo ka me aloha. Okay, Ho'ike is on August.
August the 30th. That's 30th. A Saturday. Kalamaya.
Saturday.
And everybody's busy. But
at Anahola Beach.
Anahola Beach. We'll be
please
there.
Please come one and all. And we will continue to remind people throughout the month, too, about that. And about this website, which is so important, I think, for everybody to check it out. If you got a computer or go to the library, but go to this website, Kaya'ula,
www.kaya'uluanahola.org.
Yes.
O-R-G. Mahalo.
Yes. And your phone number, in case they need to call?
My phone number is 808-212-4356.
Mahalo. Okay,
mahalo yakakua pao.
Hi, that was Kamealoha Smith. Mahalo of former of Anahola and now of Lihue. Thank you. But don't go away. Stay, because we want you to continue conversation maybe in the next half hour. Okay, now I would like to say aloha e Tim Kalai.
Aloha, Auntie.
Aloha, Tim. Welcome. Mahalo for joining us on the air today.
Okay.
I believe that the information you will be sharing with us is of the utmost importance. So please state where you live and what you do and tell me why you're here to announce event.
My wife Hope and myself, we live in the community of Moloa'a, which is on the northeast side of this island, beautiful island of Kauai, nestled between Anahola and Kilauea. You know, nice little community there.
And you've been here for how many years now?
Oh, Auntie, you know, getting close to around 20 years.
Oh,
so we've been here a while. We're still newbies,
As
far as that goes. But at the forefront always is holding the beautiful Hawaiian nation and culture, you know, at the forefront of everything and trying to do all in our powers to resurrect that, to put it at the forefront. Because we just never ever felt personally right or okay with the fact that we were coming to a place that seemingly was stolen, taken away, you know. And it just, until we do see the nation rise again, I don't think that we'll ever feel comfortable. You know?
I know.
And hopefully that is forthcoming, you know.
Yes.
In the powers
I
of
hope.
KFQ.
In my lifetime. I hope.
Yes. I hope so. We all do. You know, but nonetheless, moving with that though, Auntie, I mean, as always, Hope and myself have immersed ourselves, you know, looking at the culture. And in so doing, you know, we noticed that there was really two issues that seemed to come to the forefront that were always very important. One was dealing with the vi, you know, which is not necessarily what we're talking about now. But the second, you know, was basically dealing with access issues, you know, access. Mm-hmm. How can you get to places, you know, and how can we utilize or continue to utilize ancient trails that were laid before us by our kupuna, you know, and basically it's a tie. We've always seen that as a tie, you know, of the culture to who they are, what they are, you know, because before there were cars, before there was even horses and things like that.
Yes, I was just
going to
say that.
How did people get around? That is
trails.
Trails.
And they had messengers, runners, that go from village to village delivering messages and, you know, carrying information one place to another. That used to be the only way.
Or utilizing those trails to get their resources.
Oh, well, of course.
Hence the trail also
being
a major resource.
The trails are always along the shorelines are for subsistence gathering as well. Yeah.
You know, so as we looked at those and as we have in this moment too, also honoring not only Sister Cheryl, you know, with her passing, but, you know, the two kupuna that kind of came to us, and that one was Auntie Luella Zablon, you know, which is now Kana Rego's mother. You know, and then the other was Auntie Loke Pereira.
Yes.
You know, God bless both of these kupuna.
It.
You know, both of them had seen as we were holding our Moloa'a watershed meetings, you know, that we had a certain interest, you know, with the culture and things. And both of them had said that, well, gang, this is your kuleana, you know, that you need to pursue both of these elements. One is making sure that our watersheds, that is both in Waipake and Moloa'a, and all are protected, and that we keep those that resource of the Vai running from Mauka to Makai.
And then
the second being also is that we're able to transverse, you know, by the mm-hmm. oceans and everything, the trails and the accesses, so that we can, you know, be able to utilize the resources.
Okay,
you know?
So now what is happening with our trails in Waipake?
Well, we've got, you know, it's not just in
Waipake.
Because
that is an issue right now, and this is why we are going to speak about it here on the radio. And it's a very important issue of destructive development in Waipake. Go ahead.
Well, and here too, Auntie, a lot of it deals with a developer coming in, you know, and wanting to develop mm-hmm. what they consider their parcel, their aina, you know, and in the course of doing so, you know, that they're kind of around the premise that they're wanting to kind of make seclusive or reclusive element, you know, of the beach by limiting, you know, who can, you know, kind of get there. Now, of course, with this development, they're giving or trying to attempt to create an easement, you know, but something that we've always been trying to put forward, that is to, you know, these developers as well as our county council and just our county, you know, institutions such as the planning department, is that, you know, somewhere along the lines, as you're utilizing this easement, you're going to be crossing somewhere an ancient Alaloa trail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that Alaloa trail, as far as the law goes in Hawaii, which was given to us by our beloved Queen Liliuokalani in 1892,
mm-hmm. the Highways
was always
Act.
Established there. Thank you, Auntie. The Highways Act, mm-hmm. you know, was established so that we, in perpetuity, mind you, always can and will be able to utilize this trail and have it, you know, so that we can access our resources
mm-hmm.
and be able to, once again, travel across the island, you know. But in the course of doing so, I guess the state as an institution doesn't want to recognize this or bring it to the forefront, you know, where exactly the location of said Alaloa is,
right.
you know, or for that fact, if it is a living, breathing entity. Because truly, if we look at this, Auntie, I mean, the ancient footsteps more than likely, and I'm just saying this more than likely, you know, have probably eroded with time and maybe have washed into the kai already. But the point is, though, that trail continues to grow and move and have a vibrancy of life unto its own.
And
know?
That's because the people of today use it.
Still continue
whether
to
it
use
is
it.
Out there, they're making another trail to continue to go to where they need to gather.
Correct.
So whether it disappeared or not, though, a trail is to be established where that was.
Right. And in this case, Hope and myself, you know, as well as just from what we have gathered
mm-hmm.
from looking at literature, listening to our kupuna, that claim or state the name used is as Alaloa,
a coastal
Alaloa.
What's the difference
Alaloa?
Between Alaloa and Alahele?
Well,
because I've heard both terms.
Correct. You know, there is this wonderful book that has a lot of literature and, you know, certain terms being used. And Akalamai, I'm going to take a moment here to pull some of this up so that I can give people
well,
the information.
Does Kamehameha know, perchance, what the difference is, Alaloa, Alahele?
It seems to me, I mean, I don't know 100%, but I mean, Alahele, it seems to be like a more modern term, huh? I'm not 100% sure, but I'm hearing Alahele a lot in the context of defining what a trail is, and Alaloa is something they've been using for a very long time. I think it's just a matter of figuring out. It also could be island to island, they might be for different purposes. They have different names, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That could be it. Not 100% sure.
Right. Well,
but either way,
thank you.
Either way, that's pretty amazing stuff. Because as you know, the Ko'olau area, the district or the moku that we're from, there's a lot of work to do, a lot of good work, a lot of honest work, and a lot of work that has to do with the reconstruction or the revitalization, the restoration of all these different wahipana. Yeah. So maikai.
Yeah.
Maikai.
Maikai loa.
Right. So, Auntie, as I'm looking here, and this is from the Dictionary of Hawaiian Land Terms, which was edited by Paul Nahoa Lucas in 1995. You know, the alahele, you know, as he has it here, is a pathway, a route, a road, a trail, or a highway. So it encompasses all of these. Now, an alaloa, on the other hand, is a main public pathway around the island or a long trail.
Okay.
So synonymous, one the same, you know, for all intents and purposes.
I think I like alaloa.
Well, okay. That's a long trail, like the lei that goes around the island.
Let's talk about the...
Oh, so... Back to the workshop. What we got coming up here, if we can. Great. You know, I guess we start this and we're looking at one of our posters and it says, wow, can you get to your favorite break? Or can you get to your favorite place to pick limu anymore? You know, or can you go to traditionally practice your spiritual enlightenment or, you know, to talk once again with your kapuna of old and things like this. And so, well, all of these things come into question. And with this, we have known that we have had issues, once again, state, county, local levels. And with this,
and
you know,
no
we're
HRSs
trying to educate.
To protect the
well,
alaloa.
There are plenty. The point is the laws are on the books. It's just that we need to educate ourselves about these laws. And this is what this particular workshop is going to be about.
Okay.
Now, we are going to hold this on Saturday. August 16th, that's in a couple weeks, August 16th, in Kilauea at the Kauai Christian Academy. Now, the Kauai Christian Academy is located on what is like one of the main roads, that is Lighthouse Road.
Lighthouse Road.
You know, right, just beyond the Kong Lung Center.
Yes.
You know, well, I would say no more than maybe a couple hundred yards, you know, on the left-hand side.
Is
we'll have signs and everything
tent,
posted.
Or is that a
no,
building
they've
now?
Taken the tent down, and now they built a gymnasium there. And that is where we will be holding this, you know, this
all
thing.
Right.
So it's from 9 to 5 on August 16th. You know, so if can, please, we let everyone know.
Okay. One, go on.
Oh, okay. And so in the course of that, if anyone has any information or would like to gain more information about this, please call Joseph Figueroa, and his phone number is 212-7135. That is 212-7135. 35 Joseph Figueroa, or you can call myself and Hope at 828-6367. 828-6367. And if can, you know, look at
or
all.
Or you can call KKCR for more information.
Sure.
We'll have these flyers here.
Thank you so much
at
as well,
the radio
too, Auntie.
Station. Okay. Sorry to cut you off short.
And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei and KAQA Kilauea, K284AL in Haleiwa. We are going to go off to music and then back with a few announcements. One moment.
Saw highways on the sacred grounds. How would they feel about this modern city life? Tears would come from each other's eyes, and they would start to realize that our people are in great, great danger now.
KKCR, Hale, KAQA, Kilauea, K2.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
And we wanted to also let you be aware that we have announcements from the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency about Hurricane Isel. Update on that information will be on the various websites for NOAA and Hurricane Information Centers. 8 o'clock, I think, is the next report. So right now we are watching Hurricane Isel. It's at a Category 4 tropical cycle being tracked around 1,000 miles east of Hilo, and it says it is likely Isel will impact the island sometime Thursday afternoon and will leave the state late Friday to early Saturday. So everybody, patience, prepare, take care of each other and people around you. Who knows? Maybe it'll trail off on its own. We don't know, yeah, Auntie. Here on Kauai, so many of us have been going through Iniki and others, you know.
So we no fear, yeah?
We no fear. You know, we're not panicking. We
no
just,
fear.
But we want to make sure that those of our friends and families who have come here to the island are new to this, have not experienced it. Just know how to prepare and make sure your medication is up to date, your pets are safe.
Your water.
You know, friends around you, if they need some help, make sure. Kokua, that's Kauai style.
Yeah, polole.
All right.
Well, can we welcome Mr. John Kane? Is he on the line right now? Aloha, John.
You're on the air.
Hello, Auntie. How are you?
Aloha. I'm so well, thank you. And let me say niawe for agreeing to join us today. Is that how you say it?
That's pretty close. It's niawe.
Niawe means mahalo, by the way, folks, in Mohawk. Thanks,
sure
John. Thanks.
I do want to correct you on one thing, though.
Yeah.
And it's relevant to our entire conversation. There's this emphasis that the DOI is trying to put on designating what they call the Native Hawaiian community as tribes. There are many of us here who don't like that designation and who don't accept it. So it's enough to say that I'm Mohawk, not necessarily a Mohawk tribe.
Okay.
We regard that as a pejorative term as well, and we don't look at it as something to us, it sounds like they're calling us down when they refer to us as
anything
but what we really are. And even the word Mohawk is not fully correct.
Yeah.
That's kind of an expression, but really what I am Gunyaga'aga, and it means that I'm a person, the people of the land of Flint. And that's what, so we're always tied to a specific description of the land that we're from, and the areas that quote-unquote Mohawks would be from is where Flint was founded for. And so that's what I am. I'm of the people of the land of Flint.
I see. Thank you so much for the clarification there. We see people over here, we know nothing. We know nothing about that. I didn't even know that you didn't like being called a tribe.
They fully embrace the Department of Interior, the Bureau of Indian Affairs designation. They'll put words like Indian and tribe right in the name of their organization. And for us as Mohawks and Senecas, as Gunyaga'aga and Onundaga, we don't necessarily embrace that. And as a Iroquois Confederacy, we're also known as the Haudenosaunee. So we don't necessarily like those designations, and we do all that we can to resist them as well. So that's why it is so easy for me to identify with what you guys are going through, and they throw words around. And as you see that I'm busy on Facebook. And, of course, I do two radio shows that I've had the pleasure of having some of your great people join me on my shows. But the thing that I can't emphasize enough is that there's euphemisms that the federal government uses. And when they say federal recognition, they don't mean recognition in terms of what you would consider international recognition. They mean recognizing you as a tribe, a subjugated tribe, somebody who is...
A ward of them.
And subordinate to the laws of the United States. And that's not sovereignty.
No.
They use words like trust relationship. And I just posted something today about this. When they say trust relationship, they're not talking about trust as a virtue, as something that would be mutual, like I trust you and you trust me. They're talking about the legal definition of trusteeship. So what they're saying is that they will be your trustee and you will be their ward, and they will hold your land in trust, and they will micromanage, if not fully manage, your affairs, your money. They'll allocate funding for you. They'll do all this stuff, so you will essentially be in perpetual ward custodian status with the federal government. That's what they mean by trusteeship. And when they say government to government, they don't mean government to equal governments. They designate themselves, and they can't run away from this. They'll consider themselves the superior sovereign, and they'll look at the Native Hawaiian community as just a bunch of civic clubs that have some sort of governing structure or structure to their to like a corporate charter almost. And that's the way. So when they say government, they don't mean equal governments. They mean them being the superior sovereign and something else. You being something with limited attributes of sovereignty, that they will determine what those attributes are. And I think those euphemisms are something that all of us need to understand. So, because otherwise it sounds like, geez, why wouldn't you want to be recognized? That sounds like a good thing. But if you don't understand recognized as what, then that's where the trouble comes in.
Right. And, we did understand that. Some of us did, anyway.
No, and I
but
understand
it
you
should,
guys do.
I, you know, I knew
really
what they
fight.
Meant
I mean,
by government.
It's clear to, you understand it.
I knew I what they meant
what
by government.
What happens is the media picks up on it in such a way that it almost looks like you're a bunch of ingrates that you don't want to accept being recognized. And of course, guys like me, we know exactly what you're saying.
Speaking to the choir here. Okay, we understood what they meant by government to government. We understand what they meant by domestic laws. We understand what they meant by tribes making us demeaning and subjugating us. We understood all of that. However, I'm glad that we have to talk about this because there's a lot of people that do not understand that. Our own people.
And like I said, I think the media mischaracterizes it all. So it's understanding it and making sure that you... I mean, it almost has to be on your tongues all the time when you're saying it, because it has to be very, very clear that your goal, your end goal here is independence. And frankly, I don't think you guys are generations away from that. I think that you guys are closer then, you know, as far as all of us Native people here on the continent, you know, on Turtle Island, I think you guys represent the strongest candidates for pushing forward and staking your claim for independence. There are many of us here who resist and who fight back against the Department of Interior, against the federal government, against the states. But, you know, I look at you guys, and part of the reason that I'm so encouraged by by the stance that your people are taking is that I think you guys stand the best chance. And let's, you know, one of the things that, and I couldn't help but make this observation, is the vast majority of the people that I'm hearing from, that I've seen, and that I've witnessed in these hearings and otherwise, you guys are closer to unanimity on this thing. And I know you have some very strong, well-funded, well-organized voices that are, you know, supported by OHA and supported by, you know, the Department of Interior and all these little state agencies, as well as there may very well be some support coming from gaming tribes here, on the continent. But, they're still the minority. And to me, and this is what I posted today, I view those guys in the same way that you should view the few among you that sided with the coup, mm-hmm. you know, 120 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And that's our problem, too. Our own people with the blood are the ones that are out there speaking to your people for federal recognition.
Well, it's funny because I got invited to speak in Phoenix, Arizona, at Arizona State University back in January. In fact, I just posted a video recently.
Yeah, well, I'm speaking about
for
the women.
Conference on federal recognition, and I blasted it. I didn't just blast the process. I blasted what federal recognition was. And the lawyer who asked me to, invited me to speak at this conference, and, you know, and again, I live near Buffalo, New York, on the Seneca Nation territory, so Phoenix, Arizona is quite a haul from here. And so for them to fly me out there to speak at this conference, and I asked the woman, I said, are you sure you want me there? I'm not exactly a fan of this kind of thing. She says, no, we should hear you. So they let me speak last on the first major panel, which was probably the catbird seat for everything. And I got a standing ovation, and I got that for blasting what the federal recognition process mm-hmm. was, what federal recognition was. And I stood there as the Gunyagahaga, as a Mohawk, saying, look, let's be clear. The federal government doesn't recognize me. Doesn't recognize the Mohawk Nation. You know, as much as that's an expression and a word that you know, Mohawk, the federal government does not recognize the Mohawk Nation. They recognize one small portion of people who called the St. Regis Tribe, who are essentially Mohawks.
Hmm.
And that's the only entity on the federal side, from the Department of Interior side. And there's thousands of us here, and of course we have Native communities, we have Mohawk communities on the other side of the imaginary line on the Canadian side, but for the federal government to suggest that the only Mohawks are the St. Regis Mohawks, that's not even true, and they know it. But for the rest of us, we just, you know, we conduct ourselves in a traditional manner. We still go to Longhouse, we still do ceremonies, we still conduct a council the way we did traditionally, and you know, and that's the thing. You know, for as much as you have a battle with the United States, your ultimate prize here is international recognition, and I think that has to be the emphasis. And it's not just the big countries like the European ones or the Asian ones. You know, I would love to see stronger diplomatic and official recognition and correspondence and with diplomatic relations. With Mohawk people, with the Haudenosaunee, with the Senecas, and all of us here, we should be standing together with you because we look at you in many ways.
Appreciate
look
that.
At you as the best candidate to establish the precedent that we plan to follow.
Niawe, Niawe, mahalo, mahalo,
mahalo. Thank you.
I got one question. Do you have people that have your coco that are also collaborating with the United States government?
Oh, absolutely.
Like how we do.
You know, when you look at something like the National Congress of the American Indian, for instance, those guys, and Brian Cladisby is the president of that organization, and many of these other organizations, they oftentimes are very, very complicit with the Department of Interior. They're all about, I heard Brian Cladisby literally say in his State of the Indian Nations address, when he was referring to energy resources, he was saying that a full 10% of the United States energy resources are on Native lands. Well, I have a problem with that. How are they the United States energy resources if they're on our land?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way he characterizes it. So there is a lot of, not just semantics, there's a lot of complicity with the the federal government and the Department of Interior across many territories. But, you know, there are pockets, and when you talk about grassroots, like with what you guys have going there,
mm-hmm.
if you go into the most Native communities, except for the wealthy people who live off the fat of the Department of Interior and live off of these grant programs and live off
at the trough.
Federal funding, if you go to the grassroots people, they oppose it. And they feel strongly about sovereignty, not just tribal sovereignty the way the federal government tries to define it, but sovereignty the way we try to define it.
Self-determination by international law is what we want. Independence. Yeah. Sovereignty is also a form of independence, but what the DOI did was they gave you guys quasi-sovereignty.
Well, they don't, see, they don't even get that.
Not even?
They say it. They say it. But here's the thing.
They do say it.
Independence is something that may not exist anywhere. And I say that because we're all living off the same mother. You know, so independence is a relative term.
Mm-hmm.
But the power and authority to make decisions for yourself, that's what sovereignty is. I mean, Israel is funded to the tune of billions of dollars a year from the United States. It doesn't mean that their sovereignty isn't intact. So,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, so nobody is fully independent. People depend on other nations for food and oil and all kinds of resources for market and investment. So that independence is a relative term. And, you know, and when you can be economically self-sufficient, that's great, because now you're in a better position to assert your sovereignty. But, you know, even if you do have relations with other nations and or even funding relationships, that doesn't mean that you're sovereign. You don't have to, you shouldn't, nobody should suggest that your sovereignty is diminished by that in terms of the authority to decide for yourselves what's good for yourselves.
Now, ours is inherent. We have inherent sovereignty.
That
cannot be diminished. That cannot be taken away.
They make it sound like inherent sovereignty is something less than internationally recognized sovereignty. And I say the same thing. You know, inherent sovereignty means that it's naturally bound to a people.
God-given.
That's what inherent means.
It means God-given. It comes from the Creator.
Well, and that's the way we view it, too. You know, creation provided us all with the right to certain things. We never moved. Our sovereignty is a birthright bestowed by creation, and it's not something that in our way we don't suggest that somebody has been empowered simply because of military might or money or that kind of stuff. The people. Now, I'm not talking about how governing structures work, and there's monarchies, and there's all kinds of other ways. But in terms of the sovereignty of the people, ours is a birthright.
Okay.
Did I move you guys?
Yes, we're here.
Okay, I'm sorry. I wasn't sure. I know you guys have a hurricane heading your way.
We're running out of time, too, so we're checking the clock and making sure that we get everything.
I just want to let everybody know that top of the hour, we will have jazz with Richard.
Oh.
So stay tuned at 5 o'clock, and we're going to be wrapping up this show.
All right.
Please
let me say a few remarks more to John again. Thank you. Mahalo.
Well, I want to thank you. Niawe. I'm doing here. So, again, Niawe to you, and I want to say a big Niawe to Niawe Goa, as we would say, to the folks that have participated on my radio show. And I do a radio show in Buffalo, New York, and I do one in New York City. So I've had some of your scholars like Umi Perkins and Kiano Sai. But I've also had some of your aunties who participated on my show, and a few people like Alapake Heanu and Foster Ampong. Some of these guys have been great. They're great. For my show is me calling you. You're a guest on my show when you call in, and these guys were great guests, and so I appreciate that from them, and I appreciate the support that you've given me as well.
Hello?
Yes, yes.
Yes. Okay. So thank you again, and we're coming down to the wire here, and I'd like to say aloha and mahalo to you again, John Kane, and keep up the good work, and let's continue this dialogue.
And we'll stay in touch.
Okay.
And nyawa goa to you, and best of good luck and fortune to you as you guys continue on in your struggles, and know that you do have support from the Ongwe, from the native people here on Turtle Island.
Yes, and we love your people there too. Please give them all our aloha. We are in solidarity with them, and we hope for their own independence as well.
And we push and fight right alongside you. So, somebody sent me a Kanaka Maoli a flag, and I sent a few of our unity flags from Ongwe territory out your way. So when you see the red flag with the looks a little bit like a mohawk on the side of a starburst, you know some of those came from John Kane and
All righty. Thank you.
We're at final minutes here for Antipu and Nani.
Aloha.
Mahalo nui.
Okay, mahalo everybody for listening. Mahalo to our guest Tom. Kame aloha and niawe to John Kane, a new friend and a strong ally to our people against federal recognition. So what does it mean to be sovereign, you may ask? It means that we have dominance or absolute. It means monarchical. It means independent, and it means self-governing. Practice it and live it. Aloha ia oe oko, malama pono, ame a hui ho.
And in honor of Cheryl Obataki Lavo, we have Brada Is with E Ala E.
Mahalo.
As far as Hawaiian music, and all music, it's not especially understanding what it is, but feeling the music. And, you know, in Hawaiian music, I think there's a lot of feeling that cannot be explained, so that's why it's important.
We the voices behind the faith of the Hawaiian nation, the Hawaiian race, cries for justice, the day has come for all our people to stand as one. E ala e, e ala e. We the voices behind the face, the Hawaiian nation, Hawaiian nation, cries for justice, the day has come for all our people to stand as one. E ala e. We the warriors fought to live on what the land is she can give. Defend our birthright to be free. Give our children liberty. Power of the people is the people care aloha o ka aina, o ka aina. The land that she can give. Defend our birthright to be free. Give our children liberty.
This is Kauai Community Radio.
We're a song of Holy Guys. They call themselves the Hawaiian Style Band. We recorded this song with Holy Guys.
Together.
Living